Blog Talk Radio. This is the EWN Radio Network.
That's a mistake we can sometimes make as human beings. We can start to think what works for us works for everybody. And it really is an experiment that we're all doing on ourselves to figure out what works for us, I think.
For Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to this special series we're featuring here on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor, from SharonSaylor.com. And oh my goodness, it's my weekend. I hope it's your weekend, too. Welcome to the weekend. What adventures do you have planned for your weekend? This weekend, I'm going to the local farmers market. They've really been great. I have found several brand new vendors that I'm so excited about, and one of them has turmeric root and ginger root and told me how to make a fabulous tea. So I tried it, and I'm going to go get some more this weekend because I used it all up. I have to tell you, it's an interesting tea. It's not like any tea I've ever had. It's a little zippy, shall I say, but it's fabulous. So if you are interested in that, seek out different recipes of these kinds of teas. But this one, it's really good. And I'll let you know what happens with it. It's supposed to be very good for your system. So I'll let you know what happens as I continue enjoying it. And since we're talking about all sorts of things, like what we're putting into our system, I wanted to share with you a fabulous guest that I have. Her name is Eileen Laird, and she's a writer, podcast host, and I love this autoimmune warrior. I might just be part of her tribe here, become an autoimmune warrior myself. And she is reversing rheumatoid arthritis through the paleo diet and lifestyle. She's the author of the book, A Simple Guide to the Paleo Autoimmune Protocol, and her popular blog, Phoenix Helix, receives 1 million unique visitors annually. That really shows you you're not alone, folks. If you're going through autoimmune, wow. You know, we've talked about how many different types of autoimmune. There are over 100 plus they're finding now. Well, Eileen, she writes for Autoimmune Answers, is a regular column in the Paleo magazine. She is the host of Phoenix Helix podcast. And this is the only paleo podcast focused 100% on autoimmune healing. And you can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest as well. But I wanted to bring her on because I read her simple guide to the Paleo Autoimmune Protocol. Loved it. As you know, most of you know that I follow the low FODMAP diet, and there were so many overlaps. I was so surprised. But we're going to talk to Eileen about why paleo. And first of all, I want to ask her a little bit about her own story, what brought her to this point. So welcome, Eileen. How are you today?
I'm great, and it's a real honor to be on your show. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. I read your book, and I was just like, wow. And I learned so many things. As the audience knows, I'm one of those people that just throws myself into learning, and I just love it when I read something, and I'm like, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know this either. Oh, wow, I didn't know that either. So that's why I had to have you on, because I just love your book.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what brought you here? Because, I mean, the audience knows that what brought me to the Autoimmune Hour was my own search for healing through dermatomyositis. So What's your story?
Sure. So rheumatoid arthritis is my autoimmune, and, you know, it hit my life like a wrecking ball about 4 years ago. So prior to that, I thought I was a pretty healthy woman. I worked full-time as a massage therapist specializing in deep tissue therapy. I hiked for fun. The most recent vacation, we were hiking 10 miles a day in pretty steep canyons. I ate organically, I exercised regularly, and I overall felt pretty good, although I think a lot of us just kind of get used to how we're feeling. And so I would have digestive issues sometimes that I didn't understand, but I didn't do anything about. I would have like hormone imbalances that I would try and take care of, but again, kind of confusing. So things weren't perfect, but I certainly didn't have anything that was really interfering with my life in any major way. And then I woke up one morning and there was a sore spot on the bottom of my foot that made it hard to put on my shoe. And I thought, well, that's weird. But I just went about my day. And then the next day, it was the same spot on my other foot. And then it spread to the balls of my feet, then my hands. And then it started ricocheting around my body in what I call Russian flare roulette. And what that felt like, it happened very quickly. Within a few months, I was disabled by it, actually. And I'd wake up in the morning feeling about 90 years old, limping, crossing the living room, couldn't lift a dish because my hands weren't strong enough, couldn't wash my hair because I couldn't put my arms over my head. And that was the good part of my day. And then in the evening, the flare would hit, and whatever joint got chosen, I had to immobilize it or I would be gasping and crying with pain. So if it was my wrist, it went into a brace. If it was my shoulder, it went into a sling. And the one I hated the most is if it was my jaw, I couldn't open my mouth.
Oh my.
And there's something very primal, terrifying about that, I think, because you know you can't survive without eating. So it was really a horrifying time in my life, by far the most difficult thing I've ever been through. I definitely felt, even though I was living through it, I didn't know how I could survive it. I think if your listeners have autoimmune disease, we all kind of experience the manifestations in different ways, but I think a lot of people can relate to that. So
I can. I wasn't manifesting quite the same way, but I definitely can. And I wanted to point out your book dedication was so inspiring, and this is why, because I read your story about all of this and where it popped up in different places. And then I'm sure you probably heard, like, oh, you know, that's not possible, or it's in your head, or whatever. I mean, it's crazy the stories we hear when it's sort of, like, as you said, this roulette of, like, where's it going to pop up next? It's hard for the medical community to really wrap their head around that. But I wanted to share your book dedication because this really speaks to who you are. And that's why I wanted you on. It's that this book is dedicated to anyone with autoimmune disease that knocked them down so hard they wondered if they would ever rise again. Never underestimate your ability to rise. We all have a phoenix within us. And I just love that. I just have to say that is so inspiring. And it's your own story being so profound. And here you are 4 years later. Tell the listener where you are 4 years now into it.
It's night and day different. I still have rheumatoid arthritis, but I would call it a whisper, where it used to be a scream in my body. Those flares, that Russian roulette, is no longer happening and hasn't happened for a good few years now. I no longer limp walking across the living room. I actually can hike again. I can't hike 10 miles anymore, but I can hike like 3, you know, and pretty steep hikes. And that feels wonderful to get out and do that again. I went from not being able to work to being back at work full time. I can do all of the activities of daily life. You know, lifting a dish is no longer a problem. You know, doing all of my cooking and cleaning and all of that kind of stuff. I'm back to I would call like a full and joyful life. I would say I'm 95% better than my rock bottom on a good day. And then I would say, you know, you still have your bad days. And on those days, maybe 85%, which is still pretty darn good.
Yeah, I was going to say, those are pretty good percentages.
Yeah.
I think most people with an autoimmune, we'll take that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, the Phoenix, like as you said, so the Phoenix is also, Phoenix Helix is my blog and my podcast name. And it was because I needed a symbol of hope when I was hit so low. And with rheumatoid arthritis, the pain feels hot. It feels fiery. It really does feel like you're on fire from within. So I think that also spoke to me with the Phoenix image, and I needed to believe I could rise above. And that's what made me hop on the internet, you know, and see what was out there and what people were trying. And I think because I had had some digestive issues beforehand, that's why I figured diet would help me. I know that's kind of a bigger leap for some people to believe, but for me, it made sense. And that's online. A lot of people were trying paleo, so that's what I tried, and that did work very well for me.
Fantastic. And I agree. I'm sure today it's so easy. When I walked out of the dermatologist's office with that word, which I couldn't even say or spell at the time, you were written on a piece of paper, the first thing I did was go to the internet. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, there is that knocking you down because you're reading it like, oh my gosh. When they say those words to you, it's in the office, medical office, it's like your ears go shut, and it takes a while for it to sink in a little bit, I think.
It's terrifying. I mean, I think anyone who gets an autoimmune diagnosis, it's really scary.
Once it sinks in, I think at first it took a little, not a long time. I mean, this wasn't more than maybe a couple of hours. But
yeah, the shock is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. There was an immediate shock. Because like you, though, I have to say there were little inklings of something's not quite right for a long period of time before I actually had the major crisis, health crisis, and it was a diagnosable condition at that point. Before, it was like, well, you know, it could be this or it could be that. I even had a celiac test, and that came out negative. And so there was a lot of searching, but no answers until the actual big flare that showed up.
That's, I think, a common experience for a lot of people who have just kind of weird things going on. You're right, and until it really manifests in a clear way, it's hard to get diagnosed. What's interesting for me, as soon as that went to the second side of the, both feet got hit at the same time, I knew what it was, but I was in denial. So it's kind of interesting that somehow there was that internal wisdom. And it could be just because I had clients with autoimmune disease, and I knew a few people with rheumatoid arthritis, so maybe I knew enough about it, even though I hadn't researched it because it didn't apply to my personal life. Maybe that planted a seed, but it took 4 months before I would admit to myself that that's what it was.
Oh, well, you know, we all deal with it differently, and it's wonderful. I know you and I have spoken before. You have a lot of support, and I have a lot of support in my health journey as well, and I think that's one of the main factors is having people around you that are very supportive. I too ate organic. I thought I had a healthy diet. I exercised a lot. I worked really hard and was under a lot of stress with my work, but then it was very shocking to me, and people would say, but you live such a healthy life.
I had people say the same thing.
I think the interesting thing, the hard part for me, with even with all the loving support I had, is when you change your diet, it's a bit tough. They're like, okay. What can you eat? It's sort of like they're afraid to invite you over for them because they might make a mistake, or they don't want to ask you out because you can't go to the favorite whatever. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen around food. It's not just putting it in our mouth. It's social.
It's true. It's a major life change. And yeah, it's not easy. I mean, let's not lie. By now, it's actually just routine for me. There's nothing unconscious about it. And frankly, there's nothing convenient about it. But if the results are that it restores your health and joy in life, it's so worth it.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to mention. And your Simple Guide to Paleo Autoimmune Protocol actually makes it much easier than anything else I've found out there. And that's what I really appreciated about it, because it can be feel overwhelming, especially when well-meaning people like, have this or have that. It won't hurt you. And they're like, well, you don't really know that. The well-meaning people, you know, they're just like, have a cookie, you'll feel better. It's like, yeah, okay.
Well, it's interesting. So I've been at this over 3 years now, and I have talked about it with the loved ones in my life, but my mother and my stepdaughter and my grandson all read my book, which kind of surprised me that they wanted to read it, but they did. And then they all said they understood it better now, that I thought I had explained it to them, but it was way easier for them to understand after reading this small package, because it's not a big book. Like you said, people can read it in a few hours. And so I think they respected it more, and they felt more confident in being able to feed me afterwards too, and also just support me better. So that's kind of nice.
Oh, wonderful. So people get her book, The Simple Guide to Paleo Autoimmune Protocol, and share it with your family members. Then,
yeah.
Then those big family meals and holidays and everything will be so much easier. Oh my goodness. Well, I want to jump right into, let's first off define what is paleo, because that's a one of those words out there, like gluten-free or whatever, and people are like, I kind of know, or they think they know, but they don't. So what is paleo?
The philosophy behind the diet is that you eat the foods that you are evolutionarily designed to eat. So it's like a hunter-gatherer diet pre-agriculture. Whether or not you believe in the philosophy doesn't really matter. I say try it and see if it works for you. That's
yeah.
kind of what matters to me. But so what it is, the first stuff isn't going to surprise anyone. So no processed foods, right? No sugars, nothing out of a box, nothing that you already know when you look at the ingredient list, you don't recognize that, of course, is automatically off the table. And then after that, it removes all grains, not just gluten grains, legumes, like all of the dried bean family, including peanuts, industrial oils, so things like canola oil and vegetable oils are replaced with more natural fats like coconut oil and the natural animal fats.
Well, the one that surprised me was no nuts and seeds.
Well, that's the autoimmune protocol.
Oh,
part.
Okay.
So let me break that down a little bit more. So you start with, like, I would say to anyone who wanted to try paleo would be to try regular paleo first, because it's not as hard as the autoimmune protocol. And for some people, it's enough. The reason the grains and the legumes are removed is they can be irritants to the digestion, difficult to digest, actually affect your ability to digest other foods. It can be really surprising for people to hear, because we've heard in the news that these are really good foods for us and really healthy. But the way it's been described to me, and it makes sense to me, is we aren't just what we eat. We are what we eat, digest, and absorb. And these foods are very hard to digest and absorb. And so you can end up malnourished, even though if someone put them under a microscope, they would contain a lot of nutrients. For you, they might not. Whereas meats, vegetables, fruits are all easier to digest, and they have the idea being they have like complete proteins and synchronistic phytonutrients and pretty much everything your body needs. So that's the idea behind paleo. And I did try that first, Sharon, and it really did take me out of crisis, but I plateaued. I was still flaring a few times a month at a moderate level instead of an excruciating level. And I could walk a mile, but I couldn't walk farther than that before my feet started to hurt. So then I tried the autoimmune protocol. And the autoimmune protocol is really, it's an elimination diet designed to help you identify what other foods might be problematic for you personally. So you do the AIP for a minimum of 30 days. Some people do it up to a year. You wait till you see improvement in your autoimmune symptoms. And then you reintroduce those foods that you removed to see how your body responds. And you can eat the ones that your body says, hey, I feel good. Not a problem, and you don't eat the ones that your body reacts negatively to. So the foods that are removed are, if you haven't removed dairy yet, all dairy, nightshades, which are the tomatoes, the potatoes, eggplants, hot peppers, eggs, which is a common food allergen, and then nuts and seeds, like you had just mentioned. And there's a few smaller items like certain spices and whatnot. And in terms of which ones people are able to reintroduce, it really varies. So like for me personally, I cannot do any dairy at all. I can't even do ghee, and I cannot do any nightshades at all. But I was able to get eggs back completely, and I can eat them every day if I want. It's not a problem. I got chocolate back, which pleased me very greatly. That's one of the things you have to give up for a little while. And I can eat nuts and seeds in moderation, but I did find out that for me, if I eat them every day, it causes me to flare. So that was interesting. I can have them a couple times a month, not a problem, every day, and it's going to increase my inflammation.
Well, let me take off a tangent here about the nuts and seeds, because what surprised me, though, was when I read nuts and seeds, I think, okay, I'm eating a walnut. I'm cracking it open, eating the meat of the walnut. Yet you said even coffee and cocoa are seeds, and I'm thinking, am I ingesting all of the seed elements by drinking a cup of coffee? And that could also set off a flare?
It could. Coffee is another one of the ones they do recommend you remove and then reintroduce to see how it works for you. And in the autoimmune community, again, it really varies. Some people get it back in moderation. Like I think no one is good to drink it all day.
Right.
But they can have their morning cup of coffee and it's not a problem. And then others do find out it's an issue for them. And coffee is interesting because it's not, I don't think it's just because it's a seed. It has a lot of its own special characteristics that for some people actually can be medicinal and for other people can be inflammatory. And I guess it just depends on what's going on in our bodies.
Right. Okay. Well, see, that was, I was reading that, and I was like, wow, I hadn't thought about, if we were just eliminating the nuts and seeds, I was thinking a full piece of a seed, like a full flax seed, might be hard to digest.
Even the seed-based spices are taken out.
Yeah. See, that's what surprised me, because, so would that eliminate the nut milks as well?
Yeah.
Wow.
All of that. Wow. But that's why I keep reiterating with people, it's temporary. Like, you're not supposed to be on this restricted a diet forever. And I don't think it's healthy to be on this restricted a diet forever, because we need nutrition to heal too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the reintroduction process is really important. You are meant to go through it when you're ready. And each person, it's different. So I think I did the AIP for about 6 weeks before I started the reintroduction process. Because my flares had stopped, and so that was a really clear baseline for me to reintroduce, and that allowed me to know that dairy caused me to flare and that nightshades caused me to flare. If I was still flaring, that would have been confusing. I wouldn't have been able to figure that out. And then other people, it takes them longer to get to a good baseline for the reintroductions. But everyone's meant to go through them, expand their diet again, and then you have like a personalized template. And it's empowering because it's this very clear communication with your body. And where, how can I explain this for your audience? Like, when you're in a chronic inflammatory state, so say you're eating these foods on a regular basis and you're just not feeling good and you're having autoimmune issues, it's pretty much impossible to know which one's the problem. So if you remove the foods and then you improve, you know, okay, one of those was the problem. And if you reintroduce them, and I show you in the book how to do that, like slowly, carefully, one at a time, you can identify which ones are your problem. And it's this communication with your body that becomes very clear, and that elimination time is essential for that communication to become clear. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And we need to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about communicating with your body, because that's one of the things I think is critical as we go through the healing process and knowing what we're experiencing. So we'll be back right after this break.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. That's me, your host. And we're here with Eileen Laird, and she is the author of A Simple Guide to the Paleo Autoimmune Protocol, as well as a podcast host, and I love this, Autoimmune Warrior. Just love that. I just think we all need to be our own autoimmune warriors out there. And one of the things you mentioned was, as we do the diet, the elimination diet, we start to add foods back in. Just quickly wanted to touch on this idea of the communication we receive back from our bodies. Oftentimes, I think people tend to ignore those communications. Like, I know as before the illness, I tended to ignore some of those communications or slough them off on something else, like, oh, I hadn't slept, or, you know, I've been working too hard, and something like that. But I love that you mentioned about a communication with your body. Can you just talk a little bit more about some of the ways you've seen people say, oh, I just knew that wasn't right for me? Or what happens when that might be an odd thing when people say, well, my body's not like talking in my ear. So how do I know?
Sure. So what are some of the ways the body might say, okay, that food's not a winner for you? So it can be subtle or dramatic. Okay. So I'll give you an example of both directions. So for me, the dramatic, and it's interesting because we were talking about spices. I had given up nightshade vegetables and I had kept eating the spices thinking they were such a small amount. How could it matter? And during the AIP, I gave up the spices. And then during the reintroduction, I made taco burgers. It was just like, I can't remember. It was maybe a half a tablespoon of chili powder mixed into a pound of meat. It didn't seem like a lot to me. I woke up feeling like I was 90 years old again.
Hello.
It was dramatic and clear. And I was like, oh, okay, so I can't have that. And now there's like no temptation to have that ever again because I remembered so clearly that feeling and I wanted it to be in my past and not experience that again. On the subtle level, like the nuts, how I learned that I could have them once in a while and not a lot is the first step when you reintroduce a food is you eat a normal portion of it and you wait 3 days for a reaction. And I didn't have one when I ate nuts just the once. And so you follow up and eat it every day for, say, 5 days. And then see if you still feel good, then you can have it as much as you want. It's not an issue. And when I reintroduced nuts on a daily basis, the symptoms started building up. So the first symptom for me was insomnia, interestingly enough. And then after that, it was like a slight stiffness in my wrist where I didn't have quite as much range of motion. And then by the end of 5 days, my knee hurt so much I was limping. It kind of built up. So that's an example for me with the rheumatoid issues. For other people, it might be a skin reaction. It might be a digestive reaction. They might get headaches. Some people, it's mood. Like all of a sudden, they're yelling at their loved ones, and they know that they're not. I think you can kind of tell, especially if you've stopped, you know, the whole gut-brain connection. If you've experienced that before and you're experiencing it every day, you just feel like that's who you are. But I think if you go on, say, a healing diet, your mood improves, you start to feel more sane, let's say.
Yes.
And then if it happens after eating a food, it almost feels like an external force, even though it's coming from inside your body. That happened to me once reintroducing chia seeds, of all things. I felt a depression descend like a cloud and last for 3 days, and I wasn't upset about anything. There was no reason for it, and it was biological. So those are just a few examples.
Well, I'm glad you brought those up because for me, I have similar things, and one of the things that happens to me very quickly, it doesn't even have to do it a day or something. If I have eaten something, there are a couple of things, and one of them is apples, organic apples that I know are organic right off the tree. My nose started to run within like 5 minutes. And I'm like, that's interesting. And so I did not have those for a while and went back to a very simple, clean diet, tried it again, and my nose started to run. And I'm like, wow, okay, confirmation. That's fascinating.
So you really learn to tune into those
signals.
Yes,
it can manifest in so many ways. So as you said, it could be mood. It could be so many things. It's sometimes hard. And I'm glad you pointed up, like, if it's not feeling like you, that might be a signal. That might be a message. I find that fascinating. And a while ago, a doctor explained to me, and I love this because it made so much sense. He said, Sharon, it's not about the foods exactly. What happens is it just imagine that foods are chemicals, just like any other thing that you, other types of chemicals you might put into your mouth, prescription drugs, whatever they are, and that you're just changing the chemical soup every time you eat. And so some of the times it's very healthy, and other the times for your body, it just reacts with that sort of chemical soup you made. And I was like, well, that's a real interesting visual for me to get a handle on why something that would be healthy, like you said, a chia seed, isn't really healthy for me specifically.
For you specifically, yeah. I think that was great how he put it that way. Because that's a mistake we can sometimes make as human beings. We can start to think what works for us works for everybody. And it really is an experiment that we're all doing on ourselves to figure out what works for us, I think.
Let's talk a little bit. In the book, you talk about the anti-inflammatory nutrient-dense diet, and we've talked about some of the things in general, but what are some things that makes the autoimmune protocol so different from paleo other than this elimination portion?
I'm so glad you brought that up because I think the first thing you learn about is the foods to avoid. And then the important thing is then to focus on the foods you eat. And so you can do AIP in a way that's very nutritious, or you can do, frankly, it in a way that's not. So it is important to pay attention to the foods you eat. I think some people might say, okay, I'm going to have chicken breasts and broccoli and a bunch of like AIP cupcakes, and that's going to work. But that's not the idea. The idea is to have as varied a diet as you can within the AIP template. I think mainstream media presents paleo as like a meat-only diet. That's absolutely not true. So the foundation of the AIP food pyramid is actually vegetables. So you're supposed to eat a minimum of 6 cups of vegetables a day, even up to 14 cups if you're a very large person.
I read that and I went, wow, that's a lot of veggies.
I know. When I say that, I'm almost like, you know, that's not everyone's going to be at that level at all. So like, I think if you're a petite woman, I'd say 6 cups. This is measured raw, by the way. So that kind of helps. So as you know, like if you make kale, 3 cups of kale just shrinks down to nothing. So that's not a problem to get that in. I interviewed Terry Wall. She's a 6 foot tall woman, so she does go on the like 12 cup side of the spectrum. And then the 14, I would say, would be at like, you know, a large man. Yeah, so you want to have vegetables every single day. There's actually a hashtag on Instagram that's used a lot in the paleo community, and it's more vegetables than a vegetarian, because some vegetarians actually don't choose vegetables for their diet. They choose a lot of grains and legumes. So really, all the vegetables except the nightshades are allowed on the diet. So definitely want to eat a lot of those. And meat and seafood is definitely on the paleo template. It's not a vegetarian diet. Choosing the highest quality you can afford in those areas. So if you can afford organic, local, grass-fed, that's ideal. Wild-caught seafood has the omega-3 fatty acids. The shellfish are very nutrient-dense in vitamin D, which is kind of hard to find through food. So getting high-quality protein for that level. And then organ meats are the thing I need to talk about, I guess, if we're talking about nutrient-dense AIP, which makes a lot of people shudder. They used to be a normal part of the human diet not even that long ago. Like, I think even just our grandparents ate that on a regular basis.
I ate it on a regular basis in my childhood.
Yeah. So, I think it was, you know, it's a natural part of eating the whole animal. It's a way to honor the animal for the sacrifice. It's also the most nutritious part of the animal. And I think in modern life, we've forgotten that. And so we think, okay, if our liver is responsible for detoxification, doesn't that mean if we eat an animal's liver, we're eating all the toxins? I think that's the fear. And the answer is no, that the liver doesn't store toxins. It filters them out of your body. And so what it contains is all of the nutrients we need to detoxify. So that's why it's so highly recommended. So I was not like you, Sharon. So I had never eaten organ meat before the AIP, but I do now. And I feel like it's like food as medicine. You know, I'm getting just a wide array of deep nutrition in its natural form when I choose organ meats. And so I definitely eat them at least once a week. Ideally, you would even eat them a few times a week.
Talk quickly about organ meat, though, for a minute, because fine with it. I ate it as a child, but in all honesty, I haven't eaten it much as an adult, but I find it really hard to find these days.
Do you have any relationships with your local farmers at all?
I travel a lot, so I do when I'm in my own turf, so to speak.
Sure.
But I have a question, because I have found it in high-quality stores, but it's usually something frozen or something, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if that's any good. What happens then?
I think frozen's fine. It's absolutely fine to defrost it and cook it. That's not a problem. I think I buy from my local farmer, and it's all frozen when I get it from them.
Oh, okay. That was my question, was like, okay, I can do it when I'm home. It's really not that easy to find in your generalized store.
It's true, and it's because most people are not eating it. But what I have heard is it maybe not be on display, but if you ask at the meat counter, they have it in the back a lot of the time.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Good to know. Okay, let's move on then. I just wanted to clear up on that, because I know a lot of people are like, first off, they're probably going organ meat, and then they're like, oh my goodness, how do I cook it?
And I do have recipes on my website for that. So if they go to phoenixhelix.com and there's a tab that says diet, they slide down to recipes, they'll find a few. There's even an organ meat recipe roundup. And if people wanted to try cooking it, they'd have something like 50 different ways to try.
Oh, well, 50 different ways. You got to find one. I mean, if there's 50 different ways, there's one in there that you're going to like, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
I stopped you there because I just wanted to get a little clear about organ meat. I was thinking. Now, just another question about organ meat, though.
Yeah.
Is it just liver, or what about some of the other organs I remember eating as a child?
All of them. They all have different nutrient density. So, and again, this is going to sound shocking to your listeners if they're not used to thinking this way, but like heart is like getting a B12 shot. There's so much B12 in there. It's wonderful. So my two favorites actually are the liver and the heart. Some people do the kidneys. Personally, I think they're the hardest to eat because they have a really strong flavor. But there's all sorts of, really every organ in the body has its own nutrition, allowing it to do its job to keep us alive. And that's true for animals too.
Okay.
And if you absolutely do not want to do organ meat, oysters are the most nutrient-dense of the seafood kingdom, and they are right up there with organ meat in terms of the amount of nutrition they have. So that's another alternative.
Well, that's fascinating. I have to talk to my mom. We used to have oysters all the time as well. But we lived...
She fed you well.
I think because we live part-time on the coast, and there was a bay which is well-known for oysters. So I'm not so sure she really knew the entire reason for it. I think it was just access to lots of those kinds of things.
Sure.
And if the community does it, I think that's the better part. And convincing, getting more and more people on board with how diet affects autoimmune, I think, is critically important for people to know. So I stopped you there as we talked about organ meat, because I know when I first learned about that, I was like, boy, that's been a long time since I thought about eating liver. And so I wanted to get a little more clarity on that. So where were we going at, before I stopped you?
I think I was going to mention, so broth is highly mentioned. Do you drink broth?
I do. There's a fabulous, I lived in Portland, Oregon, there's a fabulous shop called Salt, Fire, and Thyme that make broth daily. I just love their products. So a little plug there for them. But yeah, I absolutely love bone broth. It's so healing.
Exactly. So that's one of the foods as well. Healthy fats are important. And I think that's good to talk about just because I was raised in a non-fat culture. So I think most of us for the past 50 years, and they have since debunked that, I mean, right up to the cover of Time magazine and changing the USDA recommendation. So, but we all have been miseducated for so long, we have to just rehear this often, that fat is not unhealthy, health, as long as it's healthy fats. And our bodies need fat to survive and thrive. So 50% of every cell in our body is made up of fat. So we need them for building blocks. All of our hormones are built from fat. I think it's like 60% of the brain, is it, that's made up of fat?
Yeah,
we can't absorb any fat-soluble vitamin if there's not fat to help us absorb it. So for me, I was eating a low-fat diet prior to going paleo. So that was a big shift for me, was to start adding fats back into my diet. And that really, I think, kicks up your nutrition pretty dramatically. So that's important. And then fresh fruits for treats, like that's the ideal dessert, I think, for the ones that, you know, work for you. Obviously, like for you, Sharon, apples wouldn't do.
Right.
But any ones that your body likes, berries are especially delicious and nutritious because they're so high in antioxidants. And then there are AIP dessert recipes out there. And I think that's nice because we can have a cake on our birthday or a pie at Thanksgiving, or every once in a while you just want a cookie. And so that is an option. What I like to say to people is it's not supposed to happen every day because sugar is inflammatory even when it's natural. And that's something I think it's important for us to hear because I think our little sugar craving bodies want it. And so we can convince ourselves that as long as all of the ingredients are on the diet, we can eat as much of that as we want. We just want to be mindful of that choice too.
I'm glad you brought that up because you're right. I also want to bring up this idea about process, when you said processed foods, and this is not just, we'll call, you know, the big names. I mean, you go into any of the natural food stores, and you'll find a lot of processed food there. When you read the label, you're like, oh my goodness, you know, I can't pronounce the last four ingredients, even though it says right on here, all natural, non-whatever. It looks good, but it's so deceiving.
It is. And in the health food store, I think they're even trickier because next to the non-pronounceable ingredient, they'll say from a natural source, you know? So they want you to say, oh, so it's okay.
Right. And so I find that so upsetting to me, and that, when I first was like, okay, just giving up all processed foods, even if the label said, you know, had a nice cow on it or something, had some green leaves on it or something, read the labels. And years ago, I was taught that you shop the outside of the store, like the outside ring of the store, not the inside ring of the store. And that I think, holds true for my healing and my diet more now than it ever has.
Yeah. And so what I'd say to people, I'm cognizant of the fact that your listeners are not paleo. So some people might be listening and panicking right about now. So let me say a couple of things. You get to choose whether or not you do this. No one's making you. So if you feel backed into a corner, take a deep breath. This is just an option out there. And what I will say is, it is hard to make the change, but I think it's far harder to live with autoimmune disease.
Yes.
Especially if your autoimmune disease is uncontrolled or not well controlled. Because as we know, although the medicines are out there, they don't always work for everybody. If they do work, they don't always work for long, or they don't work very well, and very rarely at like 100% level where someone just feels awesome. Compared to that, that's what got me to be able to do it, is compared to what I was experiencing, like that rock bottom rheumatoid arthritis experience I mentioned, where I was living in excruciating pain every day, changing my diet was nothing compared to that. And so I think it's just a matter of motivation and keeping your eye on the goal, and then and giving yourself like grace for the emotional part of that journey, because there is some grief, I think, in giving up foods we crave that are not good for us, or, and it might take some trial and like a few tries before you can stick to it. And like you had mentioned, getting the support you need to make the transition, and you can do it in phases. You can start, you know, gluten-free, sugar-free, and then go to paleo and then try the autoimmune protocol. You can do it one step at a time, and just if you get the rewards and you feel better and better, then it starts to feel easier and easier to do and more worthwhile.
And listen to your body. I mean, everything you just said, and I just want to put there, listen to your body. And the idea of the medications, when I did start on those at one time, and it was like I got to the point where I didn't know symptom from side effect. And it can become so confusing as we do this, and so be sure and just listen to your body. And one of the things that I do that I've shared before is I have a little journal, and I put in there, we tend to not remember the days we're doing great. We tend to kind of remember to think about, oh, I'm not doing good today, and I'm like Igor of Winnie the Pooh. I'm always going to be like this. And I do write down these things because I tend to forget, even if it's a food on my protocol that I shouldn't be eating. It's like, oh, that's right. So I tend to write a lot of things down so I can go back and remind myself.
You and I have such similar personalities. So I keep a journal as well. And I keep it a kind of a couple different ways. But I keep basically just a little brief symptom journal every day where I just kind of track how I'm doing. And what that also does, like you said, in addition to showing you the good days, it shows you the progress. Because I did not improve day by day. I improved month by month. And I think if I didn't have something, so once a month I go back through and kind of summarize it, and then I can see how I'm doing. And then I can also highlight a setback, because I've been at this longer now. So sometimes you can be in denial both directions. You can be so focused on where you're still not doing well that you forget how far you've come. I think it's important to celebrate your successes. And then you can be doing well and then maybe slip sliding a little bit on your self-care and then not feeling so well and pretending you're still fine. And then if you look at that and you're like, oh, wow, you know, I did have more bad days last month than I had the month prior. So what's changed?
Right.
I think it's really eye-opening.
Oh, it is. I have to put up my hand and say guilty of the one that I start feeling really great. And I don't do it anymore because I learned my lesson. But for a while there, it was, oh, well, I'm feeling so great. I can just one, or, you know, just right now, or just today.
Yeah.
Well, just today I'm traveling, so I can let it slip. But I would notice through my journals, like, oh, no, Sharon, you really can't do the just one. It just doesn't work for what you're going through.
which brings
me to, you talk a little bit in the book about the power of epigenetics. And to me, I am so fascinated with where all of the new research is going, and that we really do have power over our DNA or our what's happening to us right now. So let's talk just quickly. We're almost out of time, but I want to make sure we get this in a little bit, because I just geek out about this. Let's talk a little bit about what you learned about epigenetics and autoimmune, and how paleo and the autoimmune protocol play into it.
Yeah. So epigenetics is the idea that we are not defined 100% by our genes. they influence us, but they aren't everything. And in fact, the choices we make every day are actually more powerful than our genes a lot of the time. So they have the ability to turn certain genes on and off in our body, and they've done like fascinating studies on that in terms of nutrition especially really affecting that. And the inflammatory genes in our body are the ones that make the biggest difference, I think, in a lot of times how autoimmune disease manifests. And there are well over 100, maybe even hundreds of them. And depending on what you're eating, you're flipping them on or off. So that's really powerful to think about.
It is. It's shocking. It was shocking to me at how fast they flip on and off, too. This isn't years.
Exactly. No, I think on a daily basis, we really make these choices. And it's not just our food. That's really important. But the mind-body can do it, too. I talked to a woman, Donna Jackson Nakazawa, has some books out on the autoimmune experience and the mind-body connection. And research shows that when you're in kind of a stressful, freaked out time or a fear cascade or negative thoughts, you're flipping all those switches on. And when you do anything that calms you down, you're switching them back off again. So that's really important. Sleep, getting enough sleep every night is very powerful. There's this belief, especially if a lot of your listeners are really busy women, we sacrifice sleep thinking that's what we don't need. But if you have autoimmune disease, that's where your body repairs itself. And so if you do not sleep enough every night, you are keeping yourself in an inflamed state. You're keeping those genes kicked on to the point that it's very difficult to kick them off again. So getting enough sleep every night is important. But it's just empowering to know that that's happening, you know?
It is. It is. And I want to reiterate that sleep is so critically important. And for me, and if you've got this going on and you wonder about it, I found that I have to keep strict sleep protocol myself, that I in bed within about 20 minutes of the same time, try and wake up at the same time every day. And I found that to be more restorative in how I feel and how each day goes for me than if I think, well, okay, I'm going to bed 2 hours later and then I'll wake up. I just find that even being out of the schedule can be difficult for my healing, what I experience in my healing process. So it's fascinating to me.
I experience the same thing. And I think the reason for that is when you fluctuate your bedtime, there's going to be some nights you're not getting enough because you can't sleep in every day. I think getting on a sleep schedule means you've prioritized, you've committed to it, and you get it every day. So I had to do the same thing. I used to be a night owl. And now it's not that I go to bed at like 8 now, but I go to bed before midnight every night. And then I'm self-employed, so I can wake up between 8 and 9 every day. So I get 8 to 9 hours of sleep every day.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I used to be a night owl for sure. And I remember many times when I was putting myself through school, getting my master's degree and having children and family and also a company to run. Unfortunately, you're right, that was a thing that disappeared was my sleep. I was studying at midnight instead of sleeping like most people should be. So I really want to stress this to the listeners that sleep is one of those things that is equally important to our health and to how we feel, to our restoration, and also to helping the inflammation stay calmer in our body. So it's just amazing to me how this all plays together. Fascinating how it's just one big system.
It absolutely is. And one thing I'll say, because I'm sure you've talked on your show about leaky gut, right, and intestinal permeability and such.
Yes, we have, but go ahead, share.
So the one thing I'll just say is all of these same things also affect those cell junctions. So everything that turns off inflammation in your body also tightens your cell walls to be the way they're supposed to be, where they're the right barrier to anything negative going into your body. And everything we do that increases our inflammation widens those cell junctions. So that works in harmony also.
It's amazing that once we get back in balance, how everything works like it's supposed to be. And it's up to us to keep it functioning right. It's funny, we take care of our cars and everything else, but the body we don't look at in the same way. It's sort of those keeping it all flowing the same.
Until something happens that makes us, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Well, this has been fabulous. Any last little thoughts you'd like to share? And then please, please share your website because you have the most amazing resources over there, as well as how to get your book.
Sure. Just the last thing I would say is, you know, having been through autoimmune disease myself and being part of this community, I know how incredibly hard it is to live a life with this challenge. And so I believe every single one of your listeners, if they have autoimmune disease, are incredibly strong women. It's like it automatically happens if you are surviving that. And so you're stronger than you realize. And so you can do something that seems hard at first to get better. So that's just one thing I will say, like with the AIP, if it seems too hard to do, you don't have to do it right now, but plant a seed, keep that in the back of your mind. And what I will say is you can do far more than you realize you can do to feel better.
Bravo, bravo.
Yeah, and so for me and the resources available to support you, should you choose to do this, so I'm at phoenixhelix.com. That's phoenixhelix.com. You can find everything I offer there. So I have lots of free articles all about the Paleo Autoimmune Protocol. I have show notes for every podcast I've done related to autoimmune healing, and also links to my books. And the most recent one is A Simple Guide to the Paleo Autoimmune Protocol. And you can also find that on Amazon.com. Purposely priced it really cheap so everyone can buy it. I think it's like $8.50 right now because Amazon keeps lowering the price, which is great. Yeah, I think that's everything. You can also find me on social media, Instagram, Pinterest, and Facebook are the three I do. I got to set limits there. I don't know about you, Sharon. I can't do like a dozen social medias.
No, yes, I just do Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
It's to me, one of the things I have found through autoimmune, and this is just the science of Sharon, but a lot of the people I've met previously would say they were real givers and sometimes had problems with boundaries. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've gotten very good about understanding is boundaries are good things and they help you heal.
Exactly. Exactly. So I feel the same.
And one of those is limiting social media. So anyway, it's been my honor and pleasure to have you here. It's just been fascinating. Everyone, check out her website, phoenixhelix.com, as well as A Simple Guide to the Paleo Autoimmune Protocol. I found so many things I didn't know in there, and I so appreciated it. And as always, have a great weekend, whatever your adventures. Join me here next Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for another episode of the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. Enjoy.
The information provided on LifeInterruptedRadio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by LifeInterruptedRadio.com. This episode is brought to you by MindfulnessInActionBook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by MindfulnessInActionBook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at MindfulnessInActionBook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
This is the EWN Radio Network.